The following well-known purgatory mystic, she's a mystic of all types, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, shows us this incredible defect in priests that takes them to purgatory. But really, it applies to everyone, and we can learn so much about it. I also want to, after that, give you an update on everything that happened on my trip to Washington, D.C. There was a lot that happened there. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, this is from the work of Blessed Carlo Acutis. The Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich had various mystical experiences in regard to purgatory, as she herself recounts. The first one occurred on September 24th, 1820. I had received a heavy task in the house of the wedding. I could not finish it. I had to struggle to clean much garbage using a hard broom. Then my mother appeared and helped me. Later, my mother led me to many places where the souls were staying. I was also brought on top of a mountain on which a luminous spirit, shining like copper, tied to a chain, tried to approach me. He was there for a long time. No one remembered him nor helped him. He spoke very little, only a few words. Nevertheless, I came to know his entire story. He had been, in his time, the King of England and led the war against France. He employed atrocious methods and had a very wicked behavior. It seemed to me that his mother was responsible for the origin of his behavior. He destroyed all the images of the Most Holy Virgin, and one time while passing in front of a statue of the Holy Virgin, he wanted to destroy even that one, but he experienced a profound emotion and did not wish to do it any longer. After this experience, he repented bitterly and would have willingly confessed, but he died from a very strong fever. He found mercy and did not die damned. Thus he could be helped, but he had been completely forgotten. He told me that he could be helped particularly with the celebration of the Holy Mass, so that he would be able to obtain his longed-for liberation before the designated time. The place where he stayed did not seem to be the normal purgatory, but perhaps an adjacent location. I saw him persecuted and mauled by dogs in the manner in which he had persecuted people. He was chained in many spots and lived in an area covered by inflamed grass. He told me that only the slightest hope of his liberation from that place would have been for him a great consolation. I encountered him three times. The second time occurred on September 27th, 1820. Last night I prayed a lot for the poor souls, and I saw many wonderful things in the unfathomable mercy of God. I saw again the sorrowful English king, and I prayed also for him. It was clear to me how good and evil can be passed on from ancestors to children, and how their action and their will can be the cause of salvation or damnation. I saw assistance to the souls coming from the richness of the church and from her members. Many priests were suffering. They were the ones who in life had always aspired to a little place in paradise, only because they distributed communion and celebrated masses. Now I saw them in indescribable repentance for their missed works of love and assistance towards the poor souls. At this time, they were aspiring silently with an unquenchable desire to be able to help and labor. All their indolence, a word which means laziness, is turned into pain of the soul. Their calmness into impatience, their inaction into a barrier. All these punishments are the consequence of evil. In purgatory, I saw also and especially the condition of children who had been killed before and right after birth. However, it is something that I would not know how to represent even if I could reveal it, and therefore I leave it out. Let's talk about this. I had to read that several times to really understand what she was saying. So essentially, she's focusing on the priest here. These are priests that are sort of, they'll say, well, I want to barely get into heaven, just like a little corner, and I'll do the minimum that I need to do, masses and confession, and that should get me into heaven, right? As long as I do that. And they avoid the excessive work of souls that it's due for them to do. So they basically do the least amount possible just to get into the lowest level of heaven. Have you ever heard anyone say that? We say that all the time. That's not just a problem that priests have. That's a problem that humans have. And so there, it's interesting. She talks about how their inaction and their calmness in life, the easy life they led to barely get into heaven, all I want is my little spot in heaven, then in purgatory becomes a punishment. Isn't that incredible? That is God's justice. Therefore, we cannot do the same thing. We cannot just say, well, let me just get to Mass and say my rosary and go to confession, and I'm cool with the lowest part of purgatory or the lowest part of heaven. Little Freudian slip there. Meanwhile, people are dying and going to hell, and people are needing conversion, and people are struggling with sins, and we're doing nothing to help them. Not to mention that souls in purgatory are burning in incredible pain, and we're sitting here leading an easy life. Especially for us in the United States, we have the luxury where we can potentially make our lives incredibly comfortable and easy. However, for us to become saints, we must willingly work our you-know-what off for the salvation of others. We must willingly choose a difficult life for the sake not of pain itself, but to help others, to help those in pain, recognizing that there are people out there suffering physically, starving, poor, etc., and spiritually, not converted, in purgatory, etc. So we must choose the difficult life and work for the kingdom of God arduously and not seek an easy life of comfort. This is what we must do. Will this bring upon us trials and difficulties? You bet. Now let me talk to you about Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., the trip and the mission that we had there, in some sense, was a complete failure. So I went with Karen, and we were wanting to bring Cardinal Simone to meet RFK and Trump. This was an incredible mission that she willingly took on. We suffered so much while we were there. My wife describes it like this. It felt like we were put in a blender and just vroom. And you know that scene in The Wizard of Oz, the old one where they're in the tornado and you're just like, oh my gosh. And the whole, it was spiritual warfare city. And it felt like a total loss, but I loved every minute of it. Karen was an incredible example to me of someone who she doesn't have to, but she chose to take on this incredible burden, to labor for the church tirelessly, exhaustingly. We were exhausted the whole time we were there. And it didn't even, all these things happened to where it didn't even work out. There wasn't a happy ending. We went home. It all looked like a failure. But she did it anyway. And the whole time, she never complained. She didn't complain about the church. She didn't criticize or critique anyone. There's all these obstacles that came. Later, we ended up finding out that it was just miscommunications and blocks on email, that people didn't get emails. And that's why the things that were supposed to happen weren't arranged correctly because of the technology. We were praying our heads off. And looking at all this, we need to labor for the church. So what this is saying, we cannot take an easy life. We cannot only just go to Mass and say our rosary. No, we got to work and work hard for the church and its growth, for the conversion of the world. And we will be attacked spiritually, and sometimes we will fail. And even when we fail, we need to rejoice. The final beatitude is when people persecute you and say things falsely because of me, they say things false about you because of me, rejoice, celebrate tremendously on that day. And we did. On the last night that we were there, we went out to this amazing restaurant, because it was the feast of Saint Philomena. So we went to this Italian restaurant called Philomena, something like that. It was awesome. We celebrated because God was transforming us through those trials, through that failure. He was crushing us and transforming us and purging us from things that we didn't need to have inside of us, and giving us experience, making, giving us ca kind of a spiritual armor through callus, building calluses to where we're going to go again. We're going to try again. And one of the guys that was there said something really profound. Before any major apparition of Our Lady, there's always incredible suffering and martyrdom that happens. A great example of this is Our Lady of Knock. You have 1 million Irish martyrs die, suffer for the church. And then what happens? The grace of Knock comes. So we were in this kind of mission that ended up being a failure. We weren't able to do anything of all the things that we were hoping for. God was letting us suffer to lay down the seed of our own blood for the sake of a future victory. So this failure was just laying the groundwork for the future. And I was so honored to be a part of it. Kind of towards the end of the trip, my wife asked me, would you do it again? Karen asked you to go again, would you? And I was like, no, no way. No, why would I go through all that again? I was exhausted. I didn't know what I was saying. The next day, like a day later, I was like, you know what? I would go through it again because this is what we must do, not lead lives of comfort, but suffer tremendously for the conversion of our country, the conversion of the church. All the details, you don't need to be filled on exactly of all the stuff that happened, but do not be afraid to suffer to bring people to conversion, to bring the souls out of purgatory. Don't take the easy route because it will be used as punishment for you in purgatory. All that calmness and that peace that you have now because you're taking the easy path, it will come to haunt you. Remember that when you're there and you'll say, Alvaro was right. It's now the calmness is pain for me in purgatory because I wish I would have suffered more for the kingdom. Suffer for the kingdom. It's all we have. It's the only thing we can do. That's great. Do it. Do it. Suffer for the conversion of your children. Suffer for the conversion of your husband. Suffer for the conversion of your spouse. Suffer to bring the church where you want it to be. Not criticizing it ever. Not looking down on any of them because they're not acting. Love it anyway. Love it anyway. And priests, don't just be happy with saying Mass and hearing confessions. Do more. Do more. You can do it. We want you to do it. Pray for the souls of priests in purgatory that took the easy path. They will give you strength now. They will give you strength now. God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.